Hey, what a way to start our service. Good morning, everybody. Great to have you with us. Thank you for joining us. And especially if this is your first time with us on the live stream, or if you're listening on the phone, really great welcome to you. But you know, that whole little video sets the theme of why we're here. I'm presuming that's why you're here, because we're here to worship God. We're here to recognize who God is, what he's done for us, and to allow our whole being to get involved in our relationship and our praise and our worship. So it talked about hands and jumping and dancing and all sorts of things in that little video. You can do it. And no one apart from your partner perhaps is going to watch you. Your kids might think you're a bit weird, but that's okay. You can go for it. So be engaged and do it. So let's give our time to God, shall we? So let's pray. Father, thank you that we have so much to praise you for. There is so much we can worship you for, so much to give thanks for. So Lord, I pray that as we spend this time together this morning, that you would flood our hearts with all the blessings which you've given to us. And that Lord, whatever it is we're going through, whatever it is we're struggling with at the moment, would allow you in your presence to touch us and to work it through with us, and that, Lord, we would just take our eyes off ourselves and look to you. Lord, that's why we're here. So help us, I pray, in this time, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, well, just a few announcements, if I could. Right, today we're going to be sharing communion together. And if you've not joined us previously, then just an encouragement to get a bit of bread or a cracker and some fruit juice or even some real wine. No one will know. but if you want to join us in communion a bit later, then that would be really good if you could prepare yourself for that. We've got worship on Wednesday this coming week at 7 with Adam and the team. And also we've got coffee time afterwards today as well. So if you've not got a link for the Zoom coffee time thing, again, put a note in the comments, which you can make comments all the way through the service. You could say, rubbish message, Mark, or you could say, fantastic talk, Rich, or whatever it's going to be. But feel free. But anyway, that was giving you too much license there, doesn't it? But please feel free to be a part of that which we're doing here today. And one of the really good things is that we can connect with each other all the way, wherever we are. And we've had a young lady from the church who's been over in Italy, and she's got a short little video message which she wants to share with you. To her.
Hi, EBC. It is Hope here. If you don't know me, I am Adam and Joe's daughter, and I have been living in Italy for the last year, serving students there. Helping them to share Jesus on campus. And I got back about a month ago, maybe less. And I'm doing well. And it's great to be back, to be able to visit friends and family before I return. So I'm returning to Italy at the end of August to carry on serving the ministry there. Just a quick note on how lockdown wasn't easy, as I'm sure it wasn't for many of you as well. But I think the thing that was highlighted to me was the fact that we are so just made for community. And it really highlighted how much we are made in God's image. I really, really missed so many of my friends and my family. And I'm so thankful for things like Zoom, but it just isn't the same. I'm thankful that we can kind of see each other a bit more now. And thankful for the lessons that God has been teaching myself and my friends as well. I'd love to share more about my last year. Maybe some of you have been receiving my prayer letters. I know that many of you have been praying, which I'm very, very thankful for. But I have an extra video that's a bit longer to share about how this last year has been as well. So if you would like to watch that, then please contact Mark, or he might have some other way that he might share about after this video, but how you can get that video. I'd love if you would like to listen to that and hear about all the great things that God has been doing in the ministry in the last year. Yeah, it's great to share with you this morning. I hope you have a wonderful Sunday. Bye.
So yeah, thanks Hope. And if you do want to pick up on that video, then please do drop me an email, even leave a note in these comments, and we'll make sure that you get that video as well. Okay, we're going to hand over to the other half of that family now, as Adam and Joe lead us in some worship. Let's praise God together.
Good, thank you, Mark. We're going to sing together, and hopefully we're going to clap our hands and pots and pans. I don't know if you've got your pots and pans ready, but I've asked our resident drummer, who's not Mark. Okay, we're going to sing together.
Let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself. age to age he's passed. Time to keep his past, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. God had created one, the Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God, sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God.
How great.
It's really good to see you. My name is Richard Doxey. I'm the youth minister here at Emmanuel Baptist Church. And today I've brought in a old, battered Coke can because I want to tell you something very important. And each week I've been coming in and using an object or an item or an old story to tell us a little something about Jesus. But today, instead of Jesus, I want to talk about us, because sometimes, like this Coke can, we feel a bit empty, a bit battered, a bit dented, a bit broken. Sometimes we feel a bit useless and we feel like we're not as good as other people, or sometimes we feel like actually the best place for us is the rubbish bin. And one of the exciting things that the Bible talks about is they didn't have Coke cans in those days. They used to put things into clay pots. So if you went to Starbucks 2,000 years ago, or you went to get a can of Coke 2,000 years ago, instead of a nice aluminium tin or a styrofoam cup, they'd give you it in a clay pot. And when you'd finished with it, you just throw it away in the clay pot would break. But God says this, he says he puts his treasure in jars of clay, which is a bit like putting treasure in a Coke can. And what I'm going to do with this old Coke can is I'm going to show you what God does to us. You see, he takes something a bit battered, a bit empty, a bit broken, a bit worse for wear, and hopefully this works, and he fills us up with his Holy Spirit. He fills us up with his Holy Spirit. And what's even more exciting is, where we were empty and couldn't help other people, now that he's filled us up, look at that. He's given us something good that we can share with other people. Now, if you're a dentist this morning watching this, okay, I needed a carbonated spirit to make this work, but absolutely fantastic. God takes empty, broken vessels, jars of clay, and he puts his treasure in us. He makes us new. He gets rid of all the wrong and fills us with something good that we can share with other people. And that's one of the most exciting things about being a Christian, is that God sees the worth and sees how good we are, but also we've got something wonderful to share with other people. Now, I'm going to, instead of sing you a song, I'm going to play you a video now. which is children from all around the world singing a blessing over us. And if you're a young person, if you're a kid today watching, then have a look at some of these people and just see how they are sharing Jesus and think, oh, how could I share Jesus with people at the moment? Enjoy.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
You unravel me.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song. Of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave. To the altar, the fire. behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Sing alleluia, Christ is risen.
Okay, thank you, Adam, for that. Bless you. That's prepared us towards communion. But before we actually get to communion, I want to share some thoughts, if I could. This morning, about an Old Testament character called Jacob. Because I believe that... sorry, what? Can we move across a bit? The other way. Okay. Sorry, my technical director has been adjusting me. Because I believe we can learn some significant things from a particular incident in his life, and especially in our current scenario in the world with the whole COVID thing. And that's both personally and corporately. And it's about wrestling for the promises and the presence of God. And I want to read this section of this story, if we could, taken from Genesis 32, verses 22 to 31. So during the night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two servant wives, and his 11 sons and crossed the Jabbok River with them. After taking them to the other side, He sent over all his possessions. This left Jacob all alone in the camp, and a man came and wrestled with him until the dawn began to break. When the man saw that he would not win the match, he touched Jacob's hip and wrenched it out of its socket. Then the man said, "Let me go, for the dawn is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." "What is your name?" the man asked. He replied, "Jacob." "Your name will no longer be Jacob," the man told him. "From now on, you will be called Israel, because you have fought with God and with men and have won." "Please tell me your name," Jacob said. Do you want to know my name? The man replied. Then he blessed Jacob there. Jacob named the place Peniel, which means face of God. For he said, "I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been spared." The sun was rising as Jacob left Peniel, and he was limping because of the injury to his hip. Just a background to this. God had made promises to Abraham and Isaac, who was, of course, Jacob's dad. And now Jacob was the bearer of these blessings and these promises. And he'd seen much blessing from God, with wives and children and flocks and all sorts of wealth, which in turn, of course, had brought him power and position, even against the influences and the schemes of Laban, his father-in-law. And you need to read a few chapters prior to this. But Jacob sought to follow God and believe and trust him for the fulfillment of those promises given to his ancestors. But now he was about to meet his older brother, Esau, from whom, of course, he'd stolen his birthright through tricking his father Isaac, with his mum's help, I might add. But he was now fearful. He was scared of facing his older, potentially angry brother. Will God be there for him this time? And he prayed that very prayer. You read it in verse 9. So he sends gifts ahead to appease Esau, to butter him up in a way. But did he need to, I wonder? Wasn't God going to be there for him again? Was his faith actually tottering here at this point, even with all the evidence and the experience of God's blessing and God's presence in the past? Well, an interesting thing then starts to take place, because Jacob was now alone, and he, as the scripture says, he wrestled with God. Verse 24. There was nothing else left at this point. All the familiar things to hold on to for security weren't there at this point for him. There was no wives, there was no family, there was no possessions, no flocks, nothing which had become his security in some ways were there for him. Just him and God. Then, in that place of solitude, he wrestled with God. A bit like us, perhaps, in these strange times over these last few months, which we've all been going through. So what did Jacob wrestle about, I wonder? When we're alone with God, I think there's all sorts happens. But I think it was his current situation, the circumstances he was facing at this point. They did seem to be saying something completely different to what was going to happen and what the promise had been and what he'd known to be true. Either that, or he was struggling with who he was or the promises and the calling that he'd been given. Quite a burden when your ancestors have given you this or these promises and they've passed it down. Now it's upon your shoulders. Perhaps he was even questioning who God was. But, you know, in some ways the same goes for us, doesn't it? And you may have been in the same situation in recent weeks and months. When we're alone with God, it can be really hard. When everything else seems to, that which is secure, that which we've relied upon, is just not there anymore. And it was for a long time too. It was till break, daybreak, as the scripture says for Jacob, or through the night. But those times when God seems to take everything else away and it's just you and him, they can sometimes be even the hardest, can't they? We haven't got church at the moment. Sometimes it's just hard not being with others because we get encouragement from others. Perhaps there's even a sense for you of desolation when the circumstances before us are not what we would have chosen. I wonder, what do you do? Do you wrestle with these things? I do. Things that God has said and God's promise, and yet the circumstances and everything around seems to be saying something totally different. And you start thinking, God! And you start to struggle and you start to wrestle. And you ask the questions, and quite rightly, you know, did God really say those things? Has he really promised to do them and to fulfill his word? Are they really true? Is God really true? Are you really in this, God? And these are all very valid questions, and I know that God understands that. Yet hopefully, because of the past experiences, our relationship comes to the fore and actually carries us through. You hang on, you fight on, you press on in prayer and in faith, trusting that God's got it. And of course, as a result of all of that, we come out even stronger, more secure in who God is. And that's why we go through some of the trials and the difficulties, because God is wanting to do something. He wants us to be more, to place our confidence in his promises and in him, and not in the stuff which we're experiencing. The truth becomes then solid and foundational to the whole of our lives. We're not reliant just on my feelings or anymore, but rather actually on the faith and the facts of who God is. But it's interesting, because when the man couldn't overpower him, he then, and he did the strangest of things, he wrenched his hip out of the socket. Verse 25 and 26, you know, that seems a really strange thing to happen, doesn't it? Why, I wonder? It may have been to make sure that Jacob had a reminder of who God was. Remember this moment, perhaps God was saying to him. Don't forget, don't trust me. Don't forget to trust me. Have faith to carry on and to believe. I will do what I promised. An encouragement to not let go and not to forget. And you know, the same's for us, isn't it? Because we need reminders, don't we? How easy it is for the circumstances of the moment to blot out that which God has done in the past. And we've got short memories. But, you know, interestingly, I don't know whether you noticed this in this passage, it was when God saw that Jacob was determined not to give up or to be overcome with the circumstances and this fight, this match, that's when he wrenched his hip, not before. So it was as though God was building something into Jacob's character at that very moment. He wanted to see if Jacob had the spiritual stamina and the guts even to press on through, to believe and to know and to trust in God. And God wanted to see if Jacob really was an overcomer. Because whether he'd actually got the stickability, because God obviously knew what was coming. And when you look further into the story, he needed that. He needed to have that stickability and that strength in who God was and who he was in God to see the fulfillment of the promises, to press through against all the opposition. Because everything seemed to work against him. Just read to the end of the book of Genesis and you'll see some of that. So through this experience, Jacob knew what God was doing in him. In one sense, he started to learn to rely upon God and not the other things around him, because he was left that physical reminder. He was left with a limp. Now, we're not told anything else about this limp from this point on, but I expect as he walked with a stick or whatever it was from this point on, It was a reminder, constant reminder, of who God was and what God was doing. Do you think God is saying something to us in this? That life will be a bit of a struggle. It already is for many, many people in our world today, in this current climate. It might be with other things, as well as the whole COVID scenario. It could be other things which you are struggling with. And we need to wrestle sometimes in these circumstances. Wrestle with the truth. Wrestle with who God is and what God is saying. And we may come away with wounds even. But let's allow them to become a reminder, to press in, to stir us into a deeper understanding of faith, to overcome, to win through. Because God is there to help us, and he with him we can. But who was this man? Who is this one who wrestled with Jacob, I wonder? Found it difficult to find a picture of this. But was it an angel? We don't know. Was it an evil spirit even? Some think, you know, it was sent to fight with him. Some scholars actually think it was another Jacob. And whether it is actually within his, just his own mind or a dream. But the Bible does seem to indicate quite clearly that it was God. Or at least an angel of God. And we're not told directly. Yet he was in the form of a man. Either way. But God was wanting to challenge Jacob through this encounter. He wanted Jacob to fight for that which he knew deep down to be true. And God was bringing it to the surface, I would say, in this struggle. And I'm sure it became a significant turning point in Jacob and actually Israel in his life and in the life of the nation. Perhaps you can think back to a time when you've struggled or wrestled with God about something that God said to you. Some word he's given, some promise perhaps he's left with you. Yet you just couldn't have believed at that point, because of the circumstances around you, that it was going to happen. And that God would fulfill his promise. But now, of course, you look back and you see that it was a major turning point. God wanted you to just dig in deep and to hang in there. It was all part of God building your character, your spiritual character, for the journey ahead. And I look back to the time when I was a teenager, and I just sensed that God was calling me to full-time Christian service. But at that far, it was miles away. A big dream. I couldn't believe it was going to happen. Yet I had difficult times, I had struggles, but God fulfilled his promise to me. So the encouragement is here, Stay focused. It's worthwhile staying and fighting and wrestling in some of these situations. Wrestling with who God is, perhaps, and his word, his truth, through the situations which we face. And all for the fulfillment of those promises. And the promise is that God wants to bless you. It will be a battle, but we will benefit in the end. Our faith will be richer, stronger, deeper. We'll know that God, on a completely different level, it enriches us so we can face so many other things in the future. And of course, there are many other biblical characters who we could talk and say, their lives tell the same story through their adversity and their struggles. People like King David. Look at the Psalms. It's not all nice, hyper, high glory praise. It's tough stuff. All the prophets like Isaiah or Jeremiah or Ezekiel, the Bible is full of them. So hang in there. And then thirdly, and this is really important, Jacob says, I will not let you go until you bless me. Wow. Why? Wasn't he in enough pain with a dislocated hip at this point and discomfort? And you'd have thought he'd have wanted to let go at that point. But no. I believe Jacob had come to realize what was happening here. And he knew that without the blessing of God, he could do nothing. There was no future. There was no way forward. He could go no further. And again, the same is for us, isn't it? We need to recognise, I believe, the importance of the blessing of God. You know, I used to think it was wrong to ask for God's hand of blessing upon me, upon myself. I thought it was selfish. I thought it was the wrong thing to do. Now, yeah, we do need to be praying for others. But, you know, I've now learned how essential it is to ask for God's blessing upon me too. Because without the anointing and without the blessing of God, I can do nothing. The very touch of God upon my life brings me alive. It brings me into to fulfillment of those promises. Without God's hand, all I do, we do, is actually quite useless. It can become empty and unproductive. And you know, now, no matter how much of what we do is good and based on God's promises and even on the scriptures, unless he blesses it and anoints it with his Holy Spirit, there will be little or no fruit or fulfillment of the promise. So I believe God is saying, persevere. Press in for God's presence. For that place, in that place of commitment to seeking his blessing. Do you ask him to constantly, you know, to bless you? I don't know, a few years ago there was a lot of talk about this guy called Jabez. He appears in amongst a whole load of other names in the book of Chronicles, which is a hard book to read because it's just lists. But then in 1 Chronicles 4 you get this incredible short story about this guy called Jabez. And what does he pray? Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. Let's keep on praying. Let's keep on pressing in and asking, even in the midst of the darkness and the hardness, for God's blessing, for God's presence. In those quiet, even in those lonely places where we're struggling, ask for God's blessing. Help him, asking for his help to see you through. And God will speak. And God speaks in the silences and in the hard times, if we'll listen. And then there's this little bit about God changing Jacob's name. Another reminder, perhaps. Why change his name? Well, maybe it was rather an opportunity for God to remind Jacob that there was a promise being going to be fulfilled. It's so much so that he carried it within him. It was a reminder about who he was going to become, as well as who he was. But this new name is an expression that God will see his promises fulfilled. They were fulfilled, and they're still being fulfilled, because God changes us too. Because he's doing it through us, as we, in one sense, join with his chosen people as part of the new Israel. Hallelujah. You're part of God's fulfilling of his promise, even to Jacob. Isn't that amazing? And then, of course, lastly, and very briefly, he named the place where he'd had this encounter Peniel. Peniel. It's a weird name, isn't it? But Jacob wanted to mark the place of his encounter with God. The place of blessing where God had revealed himself. Where Jacob discovered more of who he was in God. And hence the name Peniel, because it means coming face to face with God. It was about meeting with God. And of course, from Jacob's point of view, he survived it. He met with God, the holy, almighty, or powerful God, but he still survived. And so he needed to, in one sense, register it for himself and the future generations to come. And I think there's a message here for us too. May we seek more Peniels. You know, more encounters where we hang on, even wrestle with God until he blesses us. Until we break through where we meet with God and we overcome the truth, until we see the promises of God realized and it changes our world forever. There's a lot in this story, isn't there? An incredible amount in this story. And I believe God wants to touch us this morning. He may have already been stirring your spirit as we've been thinking about it. But for those of you who are struggling and wrestling at present, may you know that God knows. That he's there. And I think the encouragement is hang in there. Hang on to that truth and the word. And to, of course, his promises, which he's made to you, which he's given to all of us through the scriptures. And let's press on and pray on, I believe, to be overcomers, to seek his blessing. He longs to give you his blessing. And hey, we need it, don't we? We need the presence of God in our lives, moment by moment, day in, day out. So let's seize this opportunity. We're going to take an opportunity now just to pause before we share the bread and the wine together. And perhaps this is the moment, if you haven't got your bread and your wine, this is the moment to perhaps get those together. But let's consider those things and the situations which we're faced with. Or perhaps where you know you've turned wrong, you didn't trust God, you should have done but you didn't. Well, or where we've run away instead of facing on and saying, God, I want to fulfil your promise for me. So let's pause and let's take this opportunity for God to cleanse us and to restore us. And then we'll start with sharing communion and praying a confession together. Okay, let's turn to God as we prepare for communion. We're going to share the words of the confession together, words which we use quite often here at Emmanuel. So let's pray these words together. So Heavenly Father, I confess my sins to you. Come to this table. Come to this table not because you must, but because you may. Not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come not because any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and would like to love him more. Come because he loved you and gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body. Let's give thanks for the bread and for the wine. Father, we want to thank you for the simplicity, yet the powerfulness of this feast. Through simple, earthly reminders, we are reminded of the immense sacrifice it took for you to take our sin and to set us free. to bring us new life, to establish forgiveness and cleansing and a whole new way of being. Lord God, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, that you went to the place of the cross for us, for each and every one of us. And Lord, I pray that today, as we share in these simple things together, that Lord, whatever it is we are struggling with and even wrestling with you about, we would see that you have won the victory and that the power of the cross is absolute and total. Thank you, O God. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So this is the moment, if you have got your bread, to break it and to remind yourself of the wonder of who Christ is and what he's done for you. So let's eat together. Thank you, Lord. Let's also remember that not only was his body nailed to a cross, but his blood was poured out. The blood of forgiveness, the blood of cleansing, the blood which gives us a complete new way of being. So let us drink and be grateful and know that cleansing and that new promise, the fulfillment in one sense of Jacob's promise those many years ago, but it's still being fulfilled through all that Christ is in you. So Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So thank you, God. Thank you for the simplicity, yet the profound nature of that which we've just partaken. Lord, see us through. See us through these difficult, strange times with the promise that you have won it all. You've done it. Help us to press in. And may we receive the blessing which is ours as a result. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to hand over to Adam for our final song. Bless you.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Savior bore that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched with tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah's fear and all alone. All praise the name of the Lord our God. All praise his name forever. Endless days we will sing your praise, O Lord.
Okay, thank you Adam and Joe for your input this morning, and we're going to close in a beautiful way actually. You know, we get hold of different folk from within church to say the grace. Well, actually we're going to have a blessing spoken over us today, and I want to thank Terry and Judy for doing that. So the Lord bless you, thank you for joining us today, and do get in touch with us if you want to know anything more about this Jesus and this God who was with us in the struggles. Bless you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you.
The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Amen.